In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God forever.
I want to go back in time today to the story of Jonah. Most people are familiar with the part of the story where Jonah gets swallowed by the great fish, by the whale, depending on your particular translation. And Jonah spends 3 days in the belly of this great fish before being spewed out. But today I'm more interested in looking at what happens before and after the whale incident, because the reason that Jonah got swallowed is of particular importance to your spiritual life. It all started when God told Jonah that the people of Nineveh were about to be wiped out, obliterated, disappeared. And Jonah was quite happy with this news because he hated the Ninevites, just despised them. The thought of the Ninevites suddenly disappearing from the face of the earth was rather pleasant news to Jonah. It might be hard for us to get a sense of Jonah's delight at the prospect of Nineveh disappearing. Perhaps in our modern world, it might be compared to Ukrainians hearing that God is about to disappear the entire Russian army, or vice versa. Maybe closer to home, it would be like if you're a Democrat finding out that God was about to disappear the entire Republican caucus in Washington, or if you're a Republican, the entire Democrat caucus in Washington. Imagine all of your opponent politicians in Washington just disappearing. It's not hard to imagine that a few people in this country would say, I've certainly heard worse news as of late. But then here's the rub. God taps that person on the shoulder and says, if you go warn this enemy group of yours, I'll spare them. If you warn them, I'll spare them. I'll show mercy on all of them. It's not hard to imagine a fair number of people running in the opposite direction, saying, I'm not helping them. I'm keeping quiet and just going to enjoy the show. Well, that's what Jonah does. He gets on a boat, goes the opposite direction of Nineveh in the hopes that Nineveh will, in fact, be wiped out. So God has a storm come and a great fish swallows Jonah, and after 3 days, it spews Jonah out. And Jonah finally thinks better of it and goes to warn Nineveh of the impending destruction. But then Jonah sits on a little hill outside Nineveh and watches the city, still hoping that God destroys them. Jonah had obeyed, but his heart was not changed. And when Jonah discovers that his enemies are not going to be destroyed, he gets so mad. He tells God, get this, Jonah tells God, I'd rather be dead than see mercy shown to my enemy. I'd rather be dead than see mercy shown to this wretched group. And what Jonah reveals on a large scale, which is to say a whole city, a whole population of enemies, today's gospel reading reveals the same thought on an individual level through the famous prodigal son story. We have the one brother who takes his entire inheritance and blows it all on loose living, eventually suffering the consequences of his actions, and then coming to his senses and finally heading home. And when Papa sees him beginning to return, he runs out to the boy, escorts him home, gets him all cleaned up, and throws him a huge party. And now the older brother, when he hears the festivities coming from the house and finds out it's for his wretched kid brother, this older son is livid, and he will not go in. So Papa comes out and begs the older son to join the party. And the older brother, in a moment of sheer whininess, says to Dad, all these years, I've never done anything wrong, and you've never given me the slightest celebration. We could do a whole week on just that sentence, on his lack of self-awareness, his lack of gratitude. I mean, seriously, I've never done anything wrong and you never give me anything? But what I find more interesting is how miserable this young man is willing to be solely because of mercy shown to his brother. He'd rather be miserable himself than have his father show kindness to his own brother. Not too different from Jonah. Jonah said he'd rather be dead than see the Ninevites receive mercy. And here the older son would actually rather be left out of paradise than to see mercy shown to his brother. Now this story comes to us at the beginning of Lent as perhaps a warning, or maybe better put, an invitation to open our eyes to where we might not be so different from either the older brother or Jonah. Now, maybe none of us are so dramatic as to say I'd rather be dead than see love shown to my arch nemesis. But is there anyone in my life, whether it's a group or an individual, is there anyone in my life where I'd rather cling to resentment or even rage than have my heart softened towards them? Or to put it another way, when God throws a party for the person or persons I despise most, do I attend? Do I attend? And I don't mean attend and sit in the corner grouchy with a dour expression on my face. I mean, do I genuinely attend the party to celebrate that person's humanity? There's another interesting parallel between the stories of Jonah and the prodigal son. Besides both having a theme revealing humanity's tendency to not like mercy shown to those I despise, both stories end with a question that never gets answered. We never hear the answer for that question. With Jonah, he's sitting on this hill. His only source of shade was a plant that had withered up. And he's livid because God showed mercy to the Ninevites. So God asks Jonah a pair of questions. How can you have more compassion for a withered plant than 120,000 people? And then, should I not have mercy on such a great city? And in the prodigal son story, the father asks the older son, isn't it right to make merry for your brother who has returned safe and sound? And then both stories stop. They stop with the question without us getting an answer. We never hear Jonah's decision, and we never hear the older son's decision. And that's because these questions really aren't about what they would choose. These questions are about what I would choose. These really are the questions, not only of the Lenten season, but of life. Can I love those people in my life most difficult to love? Can I not only tolerate, but celebrate mercy and generosity shown to my arch nemesis? And can I genuinely soften my heart towards the people most difficult to love? Amen.